The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 19. And we will be going through chapter 14, verse 19. Lord, we ask your blessings on the word that we're about to study in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And here you see why God said in verse 17 that we are not to get people back for the bad things that they do to us. God repays those who deserve to be repaid. God will do the judging. He will do the punishing. He will take care of that business. And when we get people back for the bad things that they do, not only are we breaking a direct command of God, but we are telling God that we do not trust Him to do His job. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Do not get people back, God says. Instead, help them. Be extra kind to those who have hurt you. Who knows? Maybe they will feel ashamed of themselves for being bad to you, and they may change. And that is the goal, to see them repent. Verse 21, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Excuse me. Be not overcome by evil. In other words, do not let evil win. Evil wins when the evil done to you gets you to do evil back. And so God says, do not give in to evil. Conquer evil by doing what is good. In other words, don't become an ornery sinner just because someone has been bad to you. Because when that happens, evil wins. Chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Obey the government, because God is the one who put it there. Someone says, well, I think some of the laws are unfair. Well, God doesn't ask us to believe that all the laws are fair. He commands us to obey them. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment. Refusing to obey the laws of the government is disobeying God, and that is why punishment will follow. You talk about prison, jail, fines, community service, loss of privileges, and sometimes even execution. They are all punishment for disobeying God, which is the real issue when the government is disobeyed. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of power, or of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. If you do not break the law, then you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to sweat it when you see a policeman. But if you have a dead body in your trunk or a backseat full of illegal drugs, well, you're going to start sweating just a little bit when you see a squad car. And if a police officer tries to pull you over because your blinker isn't working, you're likely to floor it and, you know, lead them on a high-speed chase because you're paranoid. The wicked flee when no one pursues. And people who break the law live in fear. People who disobey God and know it live in fear. If they are smart, they live in fear. Verse 4. For he, that is the government, is the minister of God to thee for good. Saying, I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help you, that'll usually get some pretty good laughs if you're among conservatives. But there's some truth there. As God says, as flawed as any government is, It is better than anarchy. God invented human government to help people. Last part of verse 4. Let's read the whole verse. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. If we are doing something wrong, we are smart to be afraid, because God has put government there to punish us. Now, Jesus paid the eternal punishment for our sin, but we must endure the temporary punishment ourselves. Verse 5, wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Do not break any laws, because you know you shouldn't. And also to avoid being punished. In other words, obey the government because it is smart. Obey the government because it is right. God says it is right. Verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute or taxes also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Government needs money. Government workers need to be paid so that they can keep doing what God has called them to do. Pay taxes, says God. Pay taxes so that God can keep things orderly in this sinful world that would fall apart without the help of human government. 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Honor and respect all those who God says should have it. And we don't have to agree with our leaders, but at every level we must honor them. Respect all leaders. And if you disagree with them, fine. But disagree with them in a respectful way. Verse 8. Owe no man anything. Stop right there. This does not mean that you cannot take out a loan. It means pay your debts. In other words, make your payments. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We owe people our love. That's what God says. We owe all people our love. That doesn't have anything to do with feeling mushy. It means we owe them our kindness. We owe them a helping hand, if that is what they need. We are in debt to be good to others just as God, through Christ, has been good to us. Verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we love others as much as we love ourselves, then we're not going to hurt them. We're not going to do anything to hurt them. And it's very nice to have a detailed list of the commandments. God has given us many, many commandments in His Word. And many principles in His Word. And that's all wonderful. But you don't have to worry about breaking those specific commandments if you simply treat others as God has treated you. And if you are as concerned for others as you are about yourself. That just, you know, all the commandments are entailed in that. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, you cannot go wrong spiritually if you love others as much as you love yourself. You will never upset God by being good to others. You will fulfill His law. Verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when we believed. The clock is ticking. Time is running out. We are all closer to the day when we will stand before Christ. We are all closer to that day today than what we were yesterday. And that is another very good reason to treat other people well. 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The day is at hand. That is, either the day of Jesus' return, or of us going to Him. Either way, that time will soon be here. And for any of us, regardless of our physical condition or age, it could happen today. Consequently, if someone is living a sinful life and not repenting, they ought to repent, like right now. Verse 13. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Command from God. Here it is. Do not spend the time you have remaining here bickering, arguing, fighting, sleeping around, going to wild parties, getting drunk, and all the other kind of stuff that goes along with that lifestyle. It's time to stop. Of course, that means you're not going to be popular with those who do those sorts of things. But I guess there comes a time when we must all decide for ourselves just how much our immortal soul is worth to us. 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Sin is best defeated by avoiding temptation in the first place. Make no provision for the flesh. Ask Christ to help you not to plan sin, or better yet, not to plan to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted to sin. Chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And what that is talking about is disputes over things that are not clearly spelt out in the Word of God. Now, this whole chapter is going to be dealing with this subject. So before I begin to say anything about it, I have to make this statement so that everybody understands this for sure. When Scripture says, do this or don't do that, there is no room for discussion. When Scripture clearly says that something is right or something is wrong, that's the end of the discussion. It doesn't pay to talk about it anymore. But it is possible to disagree with someone, another Christian, about certain things that are not exactly spelled out in Scripture. And it's possible to disagree with another Christian in these morally neutral areas and both be right, because Christians have different convictions on certain things. And God is saying, do not criticize others who have different thoughts than you concerning those things. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth vegetables. And here's an example of what he just said. Let's say you know and you are convinced that God says you can eat meat if you want to. Someone else thinks it's wrong to eat meat. Fine. If that's where they are, leave them be. Do not force them to think like you. Verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him who eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him. And there is the key. Just leave each other alone. God has accepted us through Christ. Not because we do or do not eat meat. Consequently, Christians should accept each other as well. And this issue of eating meat or not eating meat, that's just one example. The principle is there are gray areas. There are areas that are neither morally correct or immoral. It just doesn't matter. Let your conscience be your guide in these areas and leave your fellow Christian alone who may disagree with you on these things. 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, and he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. Other Christians are God's servants, not ours. So we have no right to tell them what they must or must not do. And again, this is talking about non-sinful things. other Christians, like us, will answer to God for what they do or do not do. 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Here's another issue. There were people back in those days, Christians, who felt that all Christians should observe special Jewish holy days. And just like there are Christians today, some, who observe special holy days, special religious feast days. And then there are other Christians who think that's a waste. And they say every day should be a holy day. Well, fine. Don't make a big deal out of the differences. Do it however you feel like doing it. Just leave each other be. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Those who have special holy days, they do it to honor God. That's great. Those who do not have special holy days want to make every day a holy day to God. And that's great too. Those who eat meat are fine, as long as they are thankful for the meat. Those who eat only vegetables are doing well as well, also, as long as they are doing it for the honor of God. And so the point here, the important thing, is to honor God with whatever we choose to do or whatever we choose to refrain from doing. Verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We cannot live any way we choose. We cannot dictate everything that happens in our life, and we sure cannot dictate how we're going to die. We don't have that power. In other words, what God is saying in this verse is that we are not the boss. And since we are not the boss, we cannot insist that other Christians have the same convictions as us in every area as if we are God. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We will answer to God for our life, not to each other. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. From the second you were conceived to the moment of your death and beyond that into forever, you belong to God. He is our master. God is our master. And that is why we are free from others who would want to micromanage our lives. They are not our boss. And we are not their boss. God is the Lord. He is the one who tells us what to do and not to do. 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, do not criticize other Christians. And again, in non-moral areas, people are free to be led by Christ. We will all stand before God, one-on-one, and give an account to Him. He is the one we should be concerned about pleasing, not some other self-proclaimed spiritual boss who just wants to micromanage your life. 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every single person who has ever lived will one day kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess that He is God and confess that He is Lord. Everybody's going to do it. Even the worst Christ-rejecting sinner, he's going to kneel before Jesus. Some are going to do it before they are cast into hell. Some will do it before they enter heaven, but all will do it. 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. He is saying, you got to worry about your own walk with God and the things that you need to work on rather than nitpicking other people. And that makes sense, considering we will all stand before God one day and give an account for all that we have done or failed to do. 13. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Do not criticize other Christians for the things they do that you would not do. And do not make their walk with the Lord harder than it has to be by laying all sorts of extra rules and burdens on them that God never did. That is what God is forbidding. 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If something is not forbidden in Scripture, but you think it is wrong, then do not do it, because it is wrong for you. In other words, don't violate your conscience. It is a sin to violate your conscience. There's nothing wrong with eating potatoes. But if for some strange reason I think it's morally wrong to eat a potato and I eat it, I have sinned, because I have sinned against my conscience. 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy food, now walkest thou not in love, destroy not him with thy food for whom Christ died. You have freedom in Christ, but do not do anything that will be offensive to another Christian through your freedom. Remember, Jesus Christ died for that person, so we sure should be willing to sacrifice for them also. And consider this, worst case scenario, someone could possibly be so turned off by what we do in our freedom that they may turn from Christ and actually end up in hell. Some people are very sensitive, and we must be concerned about them. 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Do not let something that you know is okay become a thing that others can criticize about you. In other words, if something bugs someone so much, then just do not do it, even if you have the scriptural right to do it. Just don't do it. 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The important thing about being a Christian is not that we can eat and drink anything we want to. Well, that's nice, I suppose. But the important thing is to be holy and good to others, and help them to be happy in Christ, and help their faith, not hinder their faith, through our actions. 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And so let Christ be your Lord in these things, these gray areas, and two things will happen. Number one, God will be glad because of your willingness to sacrifice and serve others. And number two, others will be convinced that Christianity is right when they observe you. And they will be convinced that you are right with God when they observe you. And that in turn will strengthen their faith and give them something real to believe in. 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things with which one may edify another. In other words, shoot for harmony among Christians. Use your energy to get along with each other, and also act and talk in ways that will help each other grow spiritually. Now, we have freedom in Christ, but we should stay away from anything that will hurt a weak Christian's faith. That's what God is saying. Next time, we pick up our study in verse 20. Until then, so long, everyone.